Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your host for today's show. To be or not to be, the choice is yours. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes. About the choices that people take in their lives, the consequences that come out of having made those choices. You're going to hear from really interesting people that sometimes have made wrong choices and were able to correct them. You will hear very, very inspiring stories, how people overcame their challenges and how people started to live their dream, to live the life that they truly choose to live, the life that they've always wanted to live. So get ready for an exciting 29 minutes from today's To Be show. Hi everybody and welcome back to the To Be show. My name is Barbara Hofmeister and I am your show host for tonight. Or for today. I'm in Germany, for me it is night and for you in the States it is lunchtime. And in Australia, it is very late at night and they're fast asleep. So welcome to the To Be show. And today we have a very special guest. And I just spoke to him about soccer, actually, because we're in the middle of the World Cup and we are both interested in the game. And of course, me being German, I want the Germans to win, please. Of course, if they're the best team only. So anyway, today our guest name is Janie Weiner. Janie, does Weiner come from Germany or from Austrian?
That's a great question. And actually, right before, while you were doing the intro, I was thinking about if you were going to ask me that, and I was going to bring it up anyway. It's part German, part Russian, and I believe there's a little Polish in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Weiner sounds very German, so.
Absolutely. And in fact, I believe it would be pronounced as Weiner, wouldn't it?
Weiner, yeah.
Yeah.
Weiner, yes. But Cheney is very American. So you have the best of the two worlds.
Absolutely.
So I want to tell the people a little bit, our listeners, a little bit about you. You're an inspirational and transformational speaker and the founder of the Wealth Mastery Success Program. Don't we all want to master wealth? This is such a big thing today, especially because in the last 2 years, the recession has definitely worked at our pocketbooks, and in many, many cases, our funds have dwindled down to the almost non-existent, which is very sad. So we're going to learn a lot today about wealth mastery, very, very important. Cheney's going to explain that to us. And his knowledge and experience consists of 20 years of work and study from various disciplines to include fitness, which is very important, psychology, physiology, communication, and neuroscience. And what I find the most important is also he learned how to apply these disciplines into everyday life. I think that is the most important. Because you can read as many books as you want. You can go to as many seminars as you want. If you don't apply what you learn, nothing changes. And this is what I want to talk to you about today, or want to talk with you today, Janie. How people can actually change, how people can actually improve their financial situation, and with that, also in many cases, their moods, their emotions, and their physical state. So welcome, Janie.
Well, thank you, Barbara. I appreciate you having me on today.
You're most welcome. So where do you think people are stuck living in the fear, for instance, the fear of not having the money to pay the rent, in the fear of not succeeding, the fear of failing, there's so many different fears that we can get stuck in.
Well, it's interesting that you ask that question and also bring up the different fears. And in fact, every human being really has deep, every human being has deep down inside of them a calling, a vision, something that they're here to do, something of value, an inner message and an inner vision that they want, that they would love to share with the world. But what happens is they have the fears that basically obstruct their awareness and willingness to live it. And in fact, you mentioned some of those fears, and I actually have, I call it the seven fears, and there's a fear of a religious, spiritual, a teacher, some higher authority, fear of a higher authority, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of not being smart enough. Fifth one is fear of losing loved ones, fear of not having enough money or making enough money is another one, and a fear of ill health, disease, not looking good enough. And these fears, they cloud a person's mission, a vision, what they're here to do. And in many cases, it's really, it's subconscious. People aren't really aware of it. And I'm certain that people know what it is that they're here to do. But what happens is if they look really closely and very carefully, and this has certainly happened with myself as well, that they have minimized in some way or subordinated themselves in some way to some outside authority. They attempted to live according to what's important to somebody else or somebody else's values, and then they try to be somebody that they're not. And when this happens, there's uncertainty, and subsequently there's fear.
That's very true. Very, very true. And in many cases, it is, you try to live up to your parents' expectations or your family's expectations, but you never talk to them about it. So you don't even know what their expectations are. You just think that they want you to be the super, super duper star. And because you can't live up to that, being that super duper star, you don't recognize what you are actually achieving, because that in many cases is not little, and we just sort of brush it aside. I used to be like that. That's why I love talking about this topic, because it's very dear to my heart. I always tried to live up to my father's expectations, but I never asked him what he expected. And then you can never achieve that, because it's always bigger than what you've already done.
Absolutely. And you know something, I'm really glad that you're bringing this up. And of all the interviews that I've been on, you're the first person that has brought up in that way regarding parents and their expectations. And it's really interesting, because a lot of the people, in fact, I would say about at least 90% of the people that I've worked with and who I've done some type of work with in what I do, that comes up. And It's either coming from the immediate family, like father, you know, parents, or it could even be coming from in-laws if they're married, but more specifically the parents. And here's a sign that you can tell if that's the case. Listen to your language. If you find yourself saying things such as, I should, I have to, I need to, I'm supposed to, that's a sign that in all likelihood you have injected their values or what they feel you should be doing, and it's not true to you. Versus if you're saying, I love to, I'm inspired to, this is what I've always dreamed of doing, there's a big difference not only in the language, but of course in the intent, because I don't know anybody who is really doing something that inspires them, that they love to do, and is saying, oh, I really have to do this. You always hear, oh, I have to go to work, I'm supposed to do this. If there's a big difference in the energy. And the interesting thing I find with this, it's very, not only is it subtle, but it's really, it's programmed in. I mean, I've been in discussions even with family members and other people who I'll bring this up to them, and 30 seconds later, well, I have to do this, I'm supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something important that I want everybody to get out of this call, is to be aware of that, because that's a very important first step, and that is to be aware of this so you can take the next steps in doing something about it.
Yeah, that's. I think it's also very important, because we have a choice. As we are adults, we have a choice. We can choose how we want to live our life, and we need to talk. If we have this if we think that our parents expect much more than we give them, or that we are actually doing, I think it's time to talk to them and actually tell them, you know, I'm doing this because it makes me happy, because I love doing it, because I enjoy doing it. Or I would prefer not to do this anymore because I did it for you because you wanted me to, but I'm adult now, I want to do my own thing, and I love doing this other stuff. And I'm sure that 99% of the parents will understand and will be even surprised that you're carrying this luggage around with you.
Yeah, because, and especially if you communicate to them what's important to you in terms of what's important to them. Because if you take, and I'm just going to use a general example, if you take a parent who is, let's say, pushing their child to do something that the parent wants them to do, well, obviously it's really important to the parent to see their child succeed. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they're doing it. So deep down, you know, they love their child and they want them to succeed. Thing is, they want them to succeed in the way they want them to succeed versus what's true to the child or the, you know, their child in this case. So if, like what you were saying, if they're able to talk to the parent and communicate in a way that's not only important to the child, but that's important to the parent to get them to see, hey, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. This is the way I would love to show it. I would say 100% of the time they would be open to it and they'd be all for it. And then you would break down a lot of that resistance, those walls and those barriers that quite frequently are put up as a result of this type of thing going on.
Yeah, I also believe that in many cases it's really a misunderstanding. Someone said once upon a time and we got it wrong, or, you know, we thought it was so serious, and then in our imagination we blow it up to an extent that we think it's a must, an obligation. I see that also in couples, you know, that the spouse or the wife said something and, oh my God, they think that this is now law and they need to do it, and it was just, you know, yeah, it would be nice if this would happen, but it's not, you know, it's not necessary to stay in love and to stay connected. But sometimes people have that feeling, and that creates, of course, insecurity and frustration and all kinds of stress situations that people don't need.
Yeah, and it really comes down to knowing your values and what's most important to you, because every human being has a set of values, things that are important to them, and no two value systems are ever the same. So if you have a husband and a wife, they may be pretty close, but it's like fingerprints. They're not going to have the same things that are important to them and not in the same order. So that's why, back to what we were saying about the parent-child, it's important for, in this case, if it's a relationship, for, let's say, the man or the husband to be able to communicate what's important to him in terms of what's important to his spouse. Because when you're able to do that, that's the secret, not only to great relationships in general, but that's the secret to keeping that relationship going stronger and to maintain what most people really see as a loving relationship. Because as soon as that communication breaks down, that's when you get the stress, that's when you get the arguments, that's when you get the divorces. You know, one person wants to impose onto the other the way they want it done, and that person will never do things 100% of the way that the other person wants, because every person is unique and different. So it's important to be aware of that and take the time to find out what's important to the other person, what's most important to them, and what's most important to you, and communicate in terms of that.
Very true. Very, very true. And we can turn any relationship around if we take that to heart, definitely.
Absolutely. And in fact, I was just thinking another sort of a World Cup reference here. You can even take this to a higher level between countries. Now, you know, there are different dynamics involved, but it's still communication. Because let's face it, the United States has a different set of values, things that's important to the United States. Germany has things that are most important to them, England, and et cetera. And if you really look closely, the countries that typically get along very well with each other, they're communicating in terms of what's important to each other. The ones who don't have this, they put up these walls because one side wants it their way, the other side wants it their way, and, you know, they don't want to cooperate for the greater good, if you will. So it can also be, it's a dynamic that's involved in not only relationships, but even between countries.
Yeah, I think our politicians should take that to heart a little bit. Yeah, that might help. you say that you can help people overcome any fear, any doubt, any worry, and transform that area of their life in which they have this doubt and worry and fear within as little as 7 hours. How do you do that?
Yes, and before I mention that, I do want to say this just so everyone understands. It's any fear, doubt, worry, not every fear, doubt, worry, because the fact is every single person, no matter who it is, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much status you have, no matter who you are, there's always going to be the fears, doubts, and worries coming up. The key is how do you handle them? So no one's going to ever eliminate it completely, but the key is to learn how to handle situations that come up and transform it. So with that being said, one of the ways that you do it is, in fact, let me give you a story of someone who was in my Wealth Mastery Success program. She had a fear, a doubt, and a worry, all of them wrapped up into one, about her finances. And in her particular case, financial instability. She saw herself as being financially unstable. Credit card debt, didn't have any money left, bills, debt, of course. And she also had guilt associated with it towards her family, her husband and her son, because of that. So what I did with her is I said, well, how was your financial instability? Since that was the fear she had, that was the thing that was emotionally charging her, that's where she had the doubt and the worry. It centered around financial instability. So I asked her, I said, how is your financial instability? How is it benefiting you? And when I asked her that, she couldn't answer it at first. And then I explained to her, well, the reason for asking that is because if someone sees themselves as being financially unstable, they're going to see more drawbacks or more negatives than positives. So they'll see one half, the negative side, and they're going to completely filter out the upsides or the positives. So I asked her the question, all right, what's the benefits to you of your financial instability? And then she started to figure it out, and she started to see them. Well, it's helping me become more responsible. It's helping me become more aware of who I am. And she gave a whole list of answers about how it benefited her. And the reason for asking that is to balance out that one side in this, so then she's able to see both positive and negative to that situation, because in actuality, every situation is neutral. So if someone sees themselves as being financially unstable, where are you financially stable? Which was another question that I asked her. So the whole idea was to basically dissolve the one-sidedness, because all she saw was financially unstable, no money, and she saw negative after negative and drawback after drawback. So when she was able to see the opposite, then she was able to break through and dissolve that fear. And there was actually one other part of this as well. She had guilt towards her husband and towards her son. So I asked her, I said, well, how is your financial instability benefiting each of them? And she went through that and listed the reasons. Well, it helps them. It benefited them because it got them to see that their mom really cared, their mom was responsible, or her wife, in the case of the husband, his wife was responsible, she was taking the initiative. So all of these ways that things that she wasn't aware of before, she all of a sudden saw the other side to it. And that helped her. It took her within 5 hours it took her to dissolve that particular fear. And then she said, well, I'm going to go on to the next one. Because typically, and certainly with any type of fear, doubt, and worry, it's usually not only one. There's usually a whole bunch of them that are in there. Mm-hmm. So in her case, that was the main one. And then she went on to the next one. So the way that to answer it in a real short way, that you can overcome any fear, doubt, worry, just look at the benefits of whatever that is and then look to see, well, where do you have the opposite in your life, whatever it is that you are emotionally charged or you have the fear over.
Mm-hmm. Good. Excellent. I was listening actually today to, what's her name, Katie Byron?
Byron Katie.
And she does good work on that also, turning it around, and it's called The Work, isn't it?
The Work, yeah. She has the four, I believe it's the four questions she asks.
Uh-huh, yeah. So that's something people could look at. if they have fears also, because it's very helpful. I find that many people lack self-esteem, they lack confidence, they lack the belief in themselves that they can do something. And, once they know what they want to do, this is the number one thing that I find in my clients. Most don't know what they want. They just want less of the bad things and more of the good things, but they are not clear what they really want in their life. But the second is that they, even when they become clear, they don't really believe that they can get it. They have low self-esteem. And do you have the same experience with your clients? Do you have, do you see the same thing, that people are struggling with their self-esteem, with the confidence in themselves? And, of course, if you don't have confidence in yourself, then you're not going to attempt something new. You're not going to try to strive further, because you don't even believe that you got where you are today by yourself, right?
Yeah, actually what I do see is that most people, not only the people who I work with, but the people who will send me in questions, it's that they don't know what it is that they want, which has to do with knowing their values and knowing what's most important to them, which I do show people how to do in the Wealth Mastery Success Program, determine their values and how to shift those values.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, in fact, that really the two most important aspects of this is that and self-worth. Because what a lot of people do is they confuse self-esteem with self-worth. Self-esteem is important, but it's self-worth is really where the issue is. And that's another thing I find out with my clients and the members and the people who are in my program and the people who I work with, is that not only is it not knowing what they want and their values, but at least 90% of them that I've dealt with have had, by their own admission, a low self-worth. And the
mm-hmm.
difference between that and self-esteem is self-esteem is external. It's people will give you accolades. You look great today. You look beautiful. You did a great job. So in essence, you're depending on their compliments to either lift you up, or if they're negative comments, it'll bring you down. So self-esteem can be given to you or taken away from you from someone else, but your self-worth, or the value that you bring to the world, what value do you bring to others in the world, that can be given to you or taken away from you only by you. That's really important to understand, because, again, self-worth, many people don't feel that they're worthy or that they have any value in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one thing I want everybody to take away from this call, if anyone has a pen or you're typing on the computer, write this question down and ask yourself this. Ask yourself, what is it about who I am that brings value to the world? What is it about, and you write this down and ask it to yourself, say, what is it about who I am that brings value to the world? Now, you can also expand on that. You can say, okay, what is it about who I am that brings value to my family? What is it about who I am that brings value to my friends, to my career,
community,
to community, whatever is most important to you? Just what is it about who I am that brings value to blank, fill in the blank with what's most important to you. I do this every night. I have 6 questions that I do that with, and I just answer 1 or 2 per question per night. And the interesting thing is, when you do this every single day, all of a sudden you're building up thousands and thousands and thousands of reasons why there's something about you that brings value to others. You build your
mm-hmm.
self-worth. This is a great thing to do, and it takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes out of the day. And what I like to tell people is that obviously, you are worth investing 2 or 3 minutes on to get in the habit of realizing this. And one other thing, I quite frequently ran one woman in particular who's in my Wealth Mastery Success Program. When I first had her do this, she had a real difficult time coming up with one. And in fact, when she came up with that one, she said, I don't even see any value in myself. And then all of a sudden, I had her, I had her look, I had her dig, I had her ask the question over and over again, and all of a sudden she came up with about 120 reasons. For different areas of her life. What is it about who she is that brings value to her family, to her career, to her children? And all of a sudden she came up with 30, 35 reasons per area. So, you know, it's a matter of asking the questions, being aware, and taking the time to invest in yourself, because you are worth taking the time to ask these questions, because no one's really going to do it for you. You do it for you.
Yeah, that is so true. And today we need to take, I mean, everyone that's listening, please listen to us, because you need to take time out for yourself. You must take time out for yourself to investigate yourself, to ask yourself these type of questions, to ask yourself, where do I want to be when I'm 100? What is the life story that I want to tell my great-grandchildren? What do I want people to say about me when I'm gone? You know, that kind of questions. Who do I want to be in this lifetime? And take the time out and really ask yourself those questions. And also, especially now in the tough times, focus on the good there is. I find it, Shani, I find it very, very powerful, gratitude, to express gratitude. I do that every night. I say thanks every night. And, you know, so I have some bad days, obviously, like everybody else. And then I can't think of any, like, of anything on that day that was any good, you know, that I enjoyed or that was really good that I want to give thanks for. But then I can give thanks for being alive, for being here, for having what I have, for, you know, being healthy and what have you. And I've been doing that for years now, but I was taught it by a coach that I had many years ago, and it totally changed my attitude. I mean, totally changed my outlook, my gratitude, my attitude of gratitude, maybe it's the best way to do it, to saying it. And bring so much joy and abundance into a life, no matter where you are.
Yeah, because, you know, really a good way to also look at this is look at every event that happens in your life has both sides, positive and negative, and they occur
mm-hmm.
at the same time. So if you're in a situation where you may perceive yourself as being, what I like to say, so-called depressed, or something that you may perceive as bad happening, look or in that same moment where the opposite was, and you'll see it's there every single time. And it's pretty amazing
yeah.
when you're able to do that. You can actually condition yourself to, let's say, not get into those types of situations. Just understand that there's perfection in the universe, and it's just a matter of how we see it and if we choose to see one side or the other.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Well, we've come to the end already. Time is flying. We have less than 2 minutes to go. So where can people get in touch with you? How can people get in touch with you and learn more? Because obviously, I hope our listeners understand that we've shared a lot in this 30 minutes, but wealth mastery doesn't happen in 20 minutes. And it's the beginning. And I think that Janie gave you some excellent questions that you can ask yourself, and you can get in touch with both of us. How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, if they go to www.wealthmasterysuccessprogram.com, that's wealthmasterysuccessprogram.com. If they put in their name and their email, they get a free PDF mini course and an audio that goes along with that.
Excellent. So if you want to get in touch with Janie Weiner, and I think you should, because he has some very good points. I have his Wealth Mastery course, and it's excellent. I've not gone through it fully, but I have gone through parts of it, and it's really good, and it's thought-provoking, and it definitely gets you results. So please get in touch with Janie. Janie, I want to thank you very, very much for having been on the show.
Thank you, Barbara.
I hope we will stay in touch, and we'll meet again soon.
Absolutely. You have a great day.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And for all of you still listening, this was Janie Weiner, and next week, next Tuesday, we have a fantastic lady, Princess Odelia, and she is going on a crusade for world peace. Starting in July in New York, you don't want to miss that show. She is such an inspiring person. Princess Odelia, next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, at 6 p.m. British Time, 7 p.m. European Time. I see you next week. Have a wonderful, inspiring week of summer. Bye.